Got your Bibles? Hope we do. We want to read the first seven verses of chapter 15. I want to flip back to chapter 13 a moment and touch on a couple things. He's getting across to us, not only should we be subject unto the powers that God puts in place, but also we should have love one for another. In verse number 8, chapter 13, he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse number 10, same chapter. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Then in chapter 14, if you notice, it talks about two different types of Christians, the weak and the strong. He carries that thought on in chapter number 15. Now in chapter 14, there's an issue where they're having the young Christians, the weaker ones, are having issues with buying meat in the marketplace and the meat that has been offered to idols. And so therefore they thought it was polluted, and they thought it was unclean and should not be eaten. The older Christians knew that it was not affected, that they could go ahead and eat it. But Paul deals with that. But then he gets on in verse chapter 15, and he deals, and I want to look at that just a moment. It says in verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just take that word, that you would use it, build us up, and Lord, help us to examine our own hearts and help us to look to our own lives and help us, dear Heavenly Father, as a church to be able to do the things that you would require us to do. And Lord, we pray that you would take this scripture tonight. Let us look at it and let us bring some truth out of it that would be a help to us. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. When we talk about church, he's teaching us that those who are strong should be able to help the infirmities of those who are weak. Sometimes what we have is people that pretends or makes claims of being strong instead of helping the infirmities of the weak. They condemn, and sometimes they chastise and think it's upon them to chastise. And sometimes what they do is they do more harm than they do good. And they think that they're doing good, and they think that because they are strong and stable in something, that it's okay for them to come down harshly upon someone who's not. But what Paul's trying to get across to us is this. First of all, you need to realize that the church is made up of all kinds of different people. We've had all kinds of different backgrounds. We came from all different types of raising. And you know, whether you realize it or not, the environment in which you were raised affects you. It affects your conscience. There are some people that does things that they see absolutely no wrong in, that you and I would feel very guilty if we did the same thing, because they were raised right in the midst of it and they just don't understand there's something wrong with it. And the conscience, to a certain degree, helps us and shows us certain laws of God. But there's other things, the environment, it doesn't. So we have to realize that people come from a lot of different backgrounds. Also, we need to realize that different people are at different spiritual levels in the church. There's a couple words I want you to note real quickly in verse number 1. We then that are strong ought. That means we have an obligation to. It doesn't mean that we should, could do it, or maybe we might do it, but we ought to do it. We ought to bear. I want you to take note of that word bear. The word bear there is the same word that's used in John chapter 19, verse 17, where Jesus bore or bare our sins upon the cross of Calvary. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that we are to bear one another's burdens. It means that we are to have the idea of not being self-centered, but to lay aside personal rights and privileges of our own to help someone else. In other words, we are to practice some self-denial and self-sacrifice on our own to be able to help someone else who is struggling. Now, notice this little word down in verse number 6. That ye may be with one mind and one mouth. The word one means unity. It means having like-minded. We are to have unity in our purpose in the church. We are to have unity in our praise and unity in our practice. And what happens is, so many times is, that we allow things to come in to disrupt unity. Now, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Liberty means that we have the liberty to worship God, because what we do is this. Where we are not one, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We keep Him from having liberty to open up and do things. Some people say, well, I wish we would have more people saved. Well, there's a couple things. One is what we do outside of church, inviting people, praying for people, doing those type of things, sharing a track with people, all kinds of different things that we could do. Also, when we come together here, come prayed up, come ready to worship God, and have our hearts in such a way that we can allow the Holy Spirit of God to have liberty. When He has liberty, it's amazing what God can do in a service. Sometimes we come together and we just say, just didn't feel anything. Well, the first question I always ask is, did I prepare myself to feel something? Did something in myself prevent the Holy Spirit of God from moving? So, therefore, we have to understand that we need to remember that we are, as a church, we are made up of strong and weak. We, sometimes it's easy to condemn, again, I will say, but sometimes you haven't walked in the shoes that someone else has walked into. And so you've got to be very wise. Now, let's look at a couple things. When we talk about strong, we're talking about those that are immature in Christ. Those that are able and willing to serve Christ in their life. Not everybody in your church is strong. As a matter of fact, some people hold positions a lot of times in churches that are not strong at all. To be strong means that in your Christian life, that you have grown, and you're able to have that growth in that life, and have spiritual maturity in your life, and have strength. Now, keep your finger there a moment, and flip over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 5. And keep your finger there each time, because we're going to go back to this chapter. But notice in Hebrews chapter 5, Paul was addressing some that was having a hard time growing. He says in verse number 12, "For when the time we ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." Now, strong meat is for strong Christians. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." Therefore, what we have to do is when we talk about people being strong, we talk about people being spiritually mature that has some strength. And we'll talk about some things that is strength. Now, when we talk about weak, the Bible talks about the infirmities of the weak. Sometimes when we think of infirmities, we think of sicknesses. We think of other things such as disease, impotent, weaknesses. And it's talking about those who are spiritually that they have not grown as they need to. And it describes that they are immature children of God. And therefore what they do is they are staying in bondage to many things of the flesh instead of having liberty in the Spirit of God. And even though he's talking both the weak and the strong are saved people, but you know there's some people that are saved that never enjoys their spiritual life. Did you know that? When they're weak and they're in bondage to the flesh all the time, they can't enjoy. They can't listen to a message because it's always condemning. They can't seem to sing because they don't have the joy. Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And so therefore what they do is, it's through their weakness. And so what we that are strong, if you classify yourself as someone strong, what you do is you try to help those who are weak. You pray for them. We've seen sometimes, you've seen weakness through this period of time. Some people are sick and unable to come, and some people just really has a difficult time coming because of the virus and things like that. But if you look, strong is not only talking about pastors, it's talking about other people in your church too. Number one, they have to be strong in your personal faith. You have to know that you're saved. And you know that you're a servant of the Lord. Now, each of you, if you want to be able to help anybody else in their spiritual life, you got to be secure in yours. You got to know that you're saved. You say, well, everybody ought to know they're saved. Well, there's a lot of people that has doubts. There's a lot of issues that comes in people's lives. And sometimes there's things that comes in our life, just like John the Baptist when he's in prison. Sometimes things come in our life that makes us sometimes have doubts about some things. But those who are strong are those that have come and grown to a level where they have their personal faith and they know in whom they have believed. And they are persuaded of who exactly God is and who Christ is. And they are persuaded of the fact that their salvation does not depend upon them. Their salvation is built up in Jesus Christ. And therefore, they are secure in Jesus. Boy, there's no greater feeling to know that as you walk through this life, that you're saved, sealed, and secure. Amen. Not only that, but they're strong in the Scriptures. They understand truth. They understand doctrine. They don't run away from doctrine. A lot of times doctrine divides people when they're weak. Well, that's not the way we did it. Or that's not what they taught over here. That's not what grandpa did. I don't think you ought to condemn what someone else believes. You got to preach truth. Wherever truth takes you, the truth's got to be there. If it hits me, it hits me. If it hits you, it hits you. But we are to preach sound doctrine. The word sound there means spiritually healthy doctrine. Doctrine that makes you have a good spiritual diet. Doctrine that helps you live a spiritual life. But now listen, those who are sound, those who are strong, they're not only strong in their faith, they're strong in the scriptures. If you never study the word of God, then you're not very good at rightfully dividing the word of truth. And it's easy to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Therefore, sometimes we have people in our church that they say things, and you say, where did that come from? But those who are strong, love them. Have patience. Teach them. Show them. Don't rebuke them. It's not your job to rebuke them. Let the word of God rebuke them. As it's being preached, the Bible says we are to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort in all long suffering, and what? Doctrine. Let the doctrine do the rebuking. Teach the word of God as it says, and people just got to deal with it. And if they don't like it, let them take it up with God. But again, if you are one of the strong, you're strong in your faith, and you're strong in the scriptures. Not only that, but you're also strong in church. You show me someone who is strong, I'll show you someone who's faithful to church. You can't convince me that people that's unfaithful to church is strong in the Lord. And so therefore, to be strong in the Lord, you have to be strong in the church. You have to be able to come and be a part of it and serve God in church. Listen, I don't care how much people tries to get across from this, but the church was created for a reason by God. Jesus loved the church, and he formed the church. Not only is the true church going to be his bride, but also what we need to understand is the church was formed for our benefit. None of us, and these people who think they're strong enough to live for the Lord without the church, don't understand. We need each other. We need this body. We need to come together. We need to be able to feel the presence of the Spirit of God. We need to be able to sing praises. We need that. If you don't think that it will inflate you and weaken you, let me tell you what you do. How many of you have ever had to be out of church for a week or two? I know some of you have been sick and been out for some time. Don't it weaken you spiritually? I mean, you can sit and listen to it on the air, but it's not like being here. And it weakens you. And so therefore, you have to be strong in the church. Not only that, but you also got to be strong in tribulation. That means every time something comes along that's tribulation, a trial, you don't quit. Now, I understand not everybody is that strong. Some people, every time something comes, you have to go get them back in church. But that doesn't mean they're not saved. Just means they're not strong. People who are strong, even when you're going through things, you still don't quit on the Lord. You have to go on through it. And so therefore, we have our lives, and we those who are strong, we've got to have something in our hearts and lives that we want to serve other people, not just ourselves. And so spiritual growth is an individual thing. Everybody here grows differently at different levels, different times. Not everybody grows at the same pace. Now, first and foremost, I hope that you know that you're saved. If you're not saved, you'll never grow spiritually. But if you are saved, everybody's growing, and I can't force growth upon you. Neither can you force it upon me. We have to come, and we have to be willing to submit some things and sacrifice some things to be able to grow in the Lord. And so spiritual growth comes naturally with each one of us. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes we have ones that are slow in growth. As Paul addressed there in Hebrews chapter 5, he said, you guys ought to be teachers by now, but you're being fed by the milk. Now on that, look if you would. In Romans chapter number 8, flip back there, keep your finger there in 15. In Romans chapter 8, our goal is to grow. In verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, what he's telling us is that when you got saved, God's goal for you is to get you more and more like his son. That's what he wants to do. Look, if you would, keep your finger again in Romans chapter 15. Go 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. John said this in verse number 12. He says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him, that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him, that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. In other words, each one of us has different growths. But we have to learn to bear the infirmities of the weak. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you'll stay with me, I'll try to tie all this together here in a few minutes. Look, if you would, at verse 12. Paul writes, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. In other words, we are to support those who are weak. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm strong. Well, if you're strong, then you ought to sacrifice some things yourself to help someone else that needs some help. Now, we'll talk about what we do. Number one, as Jesus In Philippians chapter 2, he became a servant, left heaven, came down, become a servant unto us. He gave himself to us to be a blessing to us. What God wants of us that are strong is to be a blessing to others. Some way we need to try to be a blessing to other people and be a help to them. Now, notice if you would, in turn back to chapter 15 real quickly. And those of you would, in verse number 3 and 4, he tells us the examples that we have. In verse number 3, we have the example of the Son of God. As I said, he gave up heaven. He came down here. And how much did he sacrifice for us? So we have the example of Jesus, how we ought to sacrifice ourselves and help those who are weak. Also, in verse number 4, we have the example of the Word of God. He says, whatsoever things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. In other words, he says that through the Word of God, it furnishes us with what we need to be able to do what God requires of us. Keep your finger there a moment in Romans 5, and go with me 2 Timothy chapter number 3, real quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Those who are strong, we have the Word of God, and it gives us everything that we need. Notice what he says in verse 16, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, everything that we need that God's going to ask us to do in the church, those of us who are strong, and every church needs strong people in it. Now, a church is going to have a lot of weak people in it. And to be honest with you, I've heard pastors say this all my life. Usually 5, 10, 15, 20 in the church you can count on all the time. Some you can count on sometime, And some you can never count on. But what you've got to do is understand that there's different levels of spiritual growth. Now, it might be one today is not doing the things that he needs to do in the church. But as he grows, he may become one of the strong ones and may be able to help many others in time to come. And so that's why what we do is we take the Word of God. We take the example of the Word of God. We take the examples from the Son of God. And we try, as strong people in the Lord, we try to help those who are weak in their infirmities, their weaknesses. Not only that, but also it takes something. Look, if you would, in verse 5 of chapter 15. Now the God of patience and consolation. Number one, we've got to learn to be patient. Any of you, I've heard people say, I'd pray for patience, but I know how God gives it. But you know, anytime that you do anything, and the work of the Lord takes patience. Do you ever get frustrated? I know, Brother Eric, probably you, when you was in the mission field and pastoring, you get frustrated sometimes, don't you? Different ones don't show up. Different ones don't do this. And it can get pretty frustrating sometimes. And I can imagine being a missionary in a foreign field and how churches just not sending their checks that they've committed to you. And you're counting on those checks to come. I can imagine how that would feel. But my point is this, that what we have is we have to have patience. And so therefore, as a church, don't give up on those who are weak. Love them. The Bible said we fulfill the law when we love them. And if we love them, we ought to have patience with them, just like our children. Now, I know there's one or two around here that may think you have perfect children, but let me let you in on a secret. We don't, none of us do. And so therefore, what we have to do is this. We have to have patience with our children. I was trying to think of a good example of patience, and I kind of come up with one today. Watching the hearing up there in Washington, D.C., of the Supreme Court Justice, she's got patience. Chris was telling me what she would say. I said, Chris, you would be in jail in handcuffs if you were sitting there in that table across from them people. I said, you don't even want to be up in there. I said, she's got patience. And I said, you wouldn't have any patience with them. And she said, well, I'd sure tell. I said, that's exactly your problem. You sure would. And then I'd be coming bailing you out before the night was out. But anyway, we got to have patience and we have to have consolation. We have to console them. We got to help them. And you know, there's some people that's hurting right now. They've got loved ones that's hurting. And maybe just pick up the phone, call somebody. Let them know you love them. You know, we used to do a ministry here with cards. When people would miss or people sick or something going on, we would send cards. I really want to start that back again. You know, that was a blessing sometimes when you were down and all of a sudden you got a card and somebody told you they loved you. And somebody would tell you they're praying for you. And they're lifting you up in prayer. And so that's important. Now notice if you would in verse 6. Again, we pointed this out. There's some spiritual goals that we got to have. Those of us who are strong. We got to try to have one mind. Keep one mind. Try to have the mind of Christ. One purpose. What's the church all about? Listen. It's not about big I's and little U's. If you've got to have your ego inflated all the time, you got the wrong spirit. If you got to be pointed out and exalted in front of people, you got the wrong spirit. There's only one that needs to be exalted in the church. That's Jesus. He's the one we need to lift up each and every time. The rest of us are we're all in the same category. We're sinners saved by his grace. And if it wasn't for him, we'd all be dying and going to hell. All we can do is stand up and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And, you know, therefore, if there's any reason in the world that we ought to have patience with those who are weak, it's because the long-suffering and patience that God had with us. Not only that, but not only one mind, but we need to have one voice. Listen. I appreciate the church. We don't have a lot of business meetings. We used to have a lot We don't have near that many anymore. When we have something that comes up before the church, we try to do it. When we take on missionaries, we try to do it. When we're buying something, we try to do it. When we're changing policies or something, we try to do it. But this idea of having to replace toilet paper, paper towels, it's just got to be replaced. Amen. And we have trustees. If something happens with the air conditioning, then we have to fix it. And thank God we have someone like Mark that jumps on that. We have different one that has different skills that helps out in different ways. But my point being is, we need to be of one mind. You know, sometimes it comes up that you got to vote to get new carpet. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen churches split over the color of carpet. You know what that tells me? A bunch of weak people.
Now, I don't have a preference,
but before I'm going to argue, I say, well, if that's what you want, that's fine with me. That's not worth arguing over. I saw a church one time, and I've told you this before, I saw a church one time split over the color of a toilet seat. Now, that was a bunch of spiritual giants right there. How foolish can you get? My point being is that we have to have one mind and one voice. And therefore, sometimes, now listen to me, I'm trying to help. You know the worst thing that you could do with weak infirmities among the weak? They don't understand. They don't understand the true purpose, and they don't understand the sacrifice of the church. Therefore, sometimes what they do is they get in these little piddly things. And when you sit and support that, you hurt them and you hurt the church. In love, try to help them to understand that some things just not really important. Some things are not worth fighting for. Now, there are some things that I wouldn't even argue with you over. And some things I would let you know my argument on it. But there's some things I would die for. I would fight to the death for. And we have to know when those things are. And therefore, we need to be careful and be of one mind, one voice. Not only that, but notice in verse 7, and I'm going to close here in just a second. It says, wherefore receive one another, you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We need to receive one another. Remember, we all come from different ways. Have compassion when people need compassion. Prayers. Pray for people when they need praying for. Not only that, comfort them when you can comfort them. Exhort them, teach them when you can teach them. Sustain them when you can sustain them. You know, Doris was telling me about something. She said, I did something and I preached about it the very next Sunday. I went over her house and did something and she tried to pay me for it. And I wouldn't take it. And then I preached the next morning, Sunday, and she said, I preached on, if somebody wants to do something for you, let them. I said, but you don't understand, Doris. I wanted to do that for you. And so it was a blessing to me. She'd been a blessing to me many times. But that was one way I could be a blessing to her. But the point being is this, that we have to learn to sustain each other. Sometimes we need something. And therefore we sustain each other. Sometimes some of the older people may need something, you young people, to come over their house and do something. You know what a blessing that would be if they needed something and you guys went over there and girls went over and helped them out? Not only that, but sometimes you just need to try to strengthen them. Give them some words of strength. Strengthen them. Don't side with them, because they think sometimes when you side with them that
therefore they're right. Strengthen them. Sometimes, listen, sometimes just give them an ear. Some people just need to be heard. And last but not least, sometimes we just need to weep with one another. You know, the church is a family. And I feel very close to many of you all. And there's some people in my family that I feel much closer to you all with than I do my own family. Because I could come and I could pray and I could talk to you and we could do whatever we need to do. That's the wonderful thing about being in church. So if you are strong, help the infirmities of the weak. If you're weak, understand that there's people that loves you and wants to help you. And understand that there's growth to do. And as you grow, you'll see things differently. And as you grow, you'll begin to understand things a little bit differently. So you as well need to have some patience. But let's hope that we have people here who will help you to grow. And I think that's what the Bible teaches, where we make disciples. And we're able to make disciples out of those who are saved. And we try to train them up and teach them and see that they grow. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would. Brother Eric, would you mind getting us a song? Maybe you need to come tonight.